Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, and again, happy Valentine's Day. Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent, is with me this morning as John Hockenberry is gone all week. Good morning.
Good morning. Keep wishing me a happy Valentine's
happy
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I need
Day.
To get into the spirit. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're male. That's no surprise. Let's go back to Egypt this morning. The military has taken over the government there, dissolved parliament, trying to dosmantle the former president, Hosni Mubarak's government. They suspended the constitution, promised free and fair elections. They're being cautiously welcomed by pro-democracy protesters, and there could be good reason for caution. We're joined now by Omar Khalifa, a managing director at O Media, a media company in Cairo. Welcome back, Omar.
Hello, how are you?
And Rashid Khalidi, an Edward Said professor of modern Arab studies at Columbia University, author of Sowing Crisis, The Cold War and American Dominance in the Middle East. Good morning again, Rashid.
Good morning.
Omar, I want to start with you because we spoke to you 10 days ago. And at that point, you said you didn't think Egypt was ready for democracy. Has your opinion changed?
No, it hasn't. I mean, I'm one of the persons who are very pro-democracy, but I'm not one of the persons who think it should come overnight. Like, I believe in democracy, of course, but I think it should come gradually. Specifically, if we can't switch from an authoritarian regime to a democratic state very quickly.
Okay, but that appears to be exactly what the protesters have begun to achieve, or at least are trying to achieve. What is your view, then, of what's happened with Hosni Mubarak stepping down and the army saying temporarily that they will take over the reins of government?
Yeah, I think it's very early to tell whether this is going to be a positive or negative, but the joy that I've seen in Egypt was never like this before, and it couldn't have been ignored. And I think the army is taking a good step today, like they dissolved the parliament and they're amending the constitution. But I just hope I think they should maybe call for earlier elections to get things more stable, because now we see more and more protests from other sectors.
All right. Well, Rashid Khalidi, maybe you can perhaps have any words of comfort for Omar Khalifa. Do we know, have any idea or any guarantee that the military is actually going to hold free and fair elections, that they will hand over the reins of power?
The only guarantee is what I heard someone say last night on Egyptian television, which was, we know the route back to Tahrir Square if they don't do what they promise. That's not a terribly encouraging thing, because really, literally, the only guarantee is that if in fact the military doesn't stick to its pledges to do what it's already begun to do, they've dissolved parliament, they've suspended the constitution, they've announced elections. If they do not do what is expected, hold free and fair elections, allow proper political parties to be established, and help in the writing of a new constitution, there will have to be another revolt. I think, though, the only reason for optimism, which is that the people know their strength, is not something to dismiss entirely. The fact that now two Arab regimes have been driven from power, or at least two Arab leaders have been driven from power, and there's a chance to change those regimes, means that there's more vigor in sectors of society that people, I don't think, gave full credence to than anybody believed six or 8 weeks ago.
Oh, but Rashid, what do you think about a September timeline to have these free and fair elections? There's a lot of vigor in Egypt and elsewhere, but it makes me wonder, you know, whether a country like Egypt is starting to exercise democratic muscles that haven't been exercised in many, many years, if at all. Can they be in shape by September?
Well, I mean, there's a danger in leaving it too long, and there's a danger in having an election too soon. I think having an election too soon would mean that you really only have two political movements that are fully capable of running an election. One is the discredited National Democratic Party, and the other is the Muslim Brotherhood, both of which have shown that they can win scores and dozens of seats. Politics has a lot to do with organization, and
indeed,
the National Democratic Party is very discredited, but it's still there. I think that the danger, which is the reason you want to leave the elections a bit, The other thing to say is that if the military stays in power too long, they may get a habit of rule.
Yeah.
They may start to control things from behind the scenes and not want to give up.
That's Rashid Khalidi of Columbia University. Omar Khalifa, I want to go back to you. There was another thing that you mentioned, which was you referred to the fact that the pro-democracy movement wasn't actually going to fix the labor strikes, that there's an essential problem with high unemployment, low wages in Egypt, which is not changed by the departure of Hosni Mubarak. Maybe you could tell us if there's any sign, do you think, that that could change because of a new president?
I think definitely they should change, because when people had like very low wages, I think that drove so many other ways, like corruption, you know, that generated corruption largely in the country. I think those changes will come, but people, I mean, it just needs patience, because even the new government with Prime Minister Ahmed Shafiq, he has promised to do so many changes, but he has just asked for time to prove himself. So I think there are many changes that will happen, positive changes, but I think they won't happen in a week or two. It will take maybe this whole year if things are stable.
Well, Rashid Khalidi, maybe you can tell me, what about all these protesters when they discover that democracy movement does not actually fix some of the essential problems, that it could be years?
Well, there are many deep, profound problems. One of them is corruption, as we just heard. Another is exactly this problem of extraordinarily low wages. I mean, the labor unrest anteceded this revolution. And there are many other problems. There are grave infrastructure problems in Cairo and other Egyptian cities that are going to require a long time to fix, and a very, very shrewd government that mobilizes resources in ways that are going to cause problems. I mean, where do you get the money for?
Hey, Rashid, speaking of money and corruption, while Wael Ghanim was on 60 Minutes last night, he said that job one is getting the people's money back, ostensibly from Hosni Mubarak, $70 billion or whatever it is. Will people in the streets demand that as job one before anything else goes forward?
And this will involve some very profound links between very important interests in Egyptian society, some of which may be connected to people that the military will want to protect. So this is going to be one of many, many, many problems that this interim regime is going to have to... And the other problem is going to be, how do you translate this youth revolution or popular revolution into political instruments that can run in elections? I mean, we talk about democracy as if it was a solution for all our problems. Democracy, as we can see, doesn't necessarily solve anything. It's just the least bad political system there is. And there's the problem of money in politics. I mean, there are many, many, many billionaires in Egypt. If these people run political parties that dominate politics, we will be in a different place than we were before this revolution. But we may not be in a very good place.
Well, we don't have any billionaires or millionaires running political parties here in the U.S., certainly not. Rashid Khalidi, the Edward Said Professor of Modern Arab Studies at Columbia University, author of Sowing Crisis, and Omar Khalifa, Managing Director at O Media, a company in Cairo. Thanks to both of you.